So you want to live for 150 years? What do you think that world looks like? I imagine a world where energy is clean and essentially free. A world where the text of every book ever written and every movie ever made could be stored in a 1-inch cube. A world where heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, even cancer no longer exist. A world where you could live for 150 years, maybe even longer. Nanorobotics could create this world. The research is happening right now, and scientists are both elated and terrified. Let's find out why. Welcome to the Y-Files, where smart folks like us come to laugh and learn. Today we're talking about nanorobotics and the endless possibilities for their application. Now imagine if you could take a robot the size of Godzilla.
Wait, you can't start yet. She's not here.
What are you talking about? Who's not here?
Nana. You said this episode we're going to talk about Nana and robots.
No, that's not what
I love when Nana comes to visit. She never covers my bowl, and she even takes me for walks.
How on earth does she take you for walks?
And while we walk, I sing, "Come on, Eileen." It's her favorite.
Okay, this went off the rails fast. We're talking about nanorobotics.
Oh, so really small robots?
Yes, kinda. The science of nanorobotics is engineering and technology, chemistry and biology, all conducted at the nanoscale. And progress in nanotech is moving so quickly that the world as we know it, it's gonna change forever. What was once science fiction is now within our grasp. And whenever you have new technology, you also have new dangers. Let's get into it. In nanotechnology, the nanoscopic scale refers to structures with a length of 1 to 100 nanometers. So, what's a nanometer?
The height of one nana.
You're gonna do this the whole time?
Oh, I'm just warming up.
Great. It's gonna be one of those. Anyway, a nanometer is 1/1,000,000th of a meter. So really, really small. Here's some perspective. The ratio of a meter to a nanometer is roughly the same as the Earth to a marble. A strand of DNA is about 2.5 nanometers, but the thickness of a sheet of paper is about 100,000 nanometers. So really small. Nanorobotics is engineering at the atomic level. And because this technology operates on such a small scale, it has the potential to manipulate all sorts of things, including the building blocks of life. So how did this all start? Well, in 1959, American theoretical physicist Richard Feynman gave a speech entitled, "There's Plenty of Room at the Bottom." And Feynman imagined a day when machines could be miniaturized and masses of information could be encoded in tiny structures. Now, although he was a Nobel laureate, Feynman went largely ignored for a couple of decades.
Yeah, sounds like your teen years.
Now you're just being mean.
Too-ra, yay!
Well, then in 1986, engineer K. Eric Drexler cited Feynman's speech in his 1986 book, Engines of Creation, The Coming Era of Nanotechnology. Drexler imagined a world where the entire Library of Congress could fit on a chip the size of a sugar cube. He also introduced what he called universal assemblers, which are microscopic machines. And Drexler saw all kinds of uses for these machines. External uses like cleaning up environmental pollutants by removing particles from the air, but also internal solutions like fighting diseases, clearing blockages in the human body. Now, since these nanobots work on an atomic level, they could build and manipulate pretty much anything from scratch.
Huh. Tiny robots manipulating atoms. What could possibly go wrong?
Funny you mention that. Drexler also proposed the nightmare scenario where these nanobots would begin duplicating themselves to the point of mass environmental extinction.
I saw that coming.
Nanorobotics has come a long way since the early days. Now, the field is dominated by biological technology rather than the mechanical assemblers theorized by Drexler. And unlike typical robots, these tiny machines are more like molecules and can actually use DNA as a building material.
Saw it coming a mile away.
Let's take a quick look at some of the biological micro-machines in development around the world. Now, researchers at the University of Mainz in Germany built the smallest engine ever from just a single atom. Now, real-world engines convert heat energy into movement, and this little nano-engine does exactly the same thing. The atom is trapped in an electromagnetic cone that's heated and then cooled with a laser just over and over and over again, and it causes it to move back and forth just like a little piston. Engineers at Ohio State designed and constructed complex nanoscale mechanical individual parts using a process known as DNA origami. And this method proved that common design principles used to build basic machine parts can also be applied to DNA, producing complex, controllable components on a tiny scale. ETH Zurich, along with Technion researchers, have developed an elastic nanoswimmer, about 15 millionths of a meter long and 200 nanometers thick, that can move through biological fluid environments. These nanoswimmers are magnetically controlled and can be used to deliver targeted therapies to specific individual cells. And over at the University of Cambridge, they've developed ants.
No, I think they make a cream for that.
Ants. ANTS, actuating nanotransducers. Now, these are tiny engines capable of a force per unit weight ratio nearly 100 times higher than any motor or muscle. Now, the hope is that the ants can help power nanorobots small enough to enter living cells to fight diseases. And the list goes on and on. Bacteria-powered nanobots, remote-controlled nanorockets, carbon tube microsponges, and metamaterials that are mind-blowingly strong. So what can we do with all this nano stuff? Well, let's start with some of the medical applications. A main field of nanobot study involves drug delivery at the cellular level. This can really limit the side effects and other unexpected reactions that come from new pharmaceuticals. Vaccines. We can even use nanotech to spot illnesses very early on. Nanoparticles could gather in certain tissues and when scanned with an MRI, help highlight problems such as diabetes.
My great uncle Goldie had diabetes. He had to have his lower left caudal fin amputated.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was. He could only swim counterclockwise after that.
Is that right?
Last time he came over, he turned his place into a whirlpool. I still get nauseous thinking about it.
Wait. If it's his lower left caudal fin, then doesn't that mean he could only swim...
Terrible with the diabetes. Terrible.
You know, I'm not going to engage.
Yeah, that reminds me. Can we switch my food to gluten-free?
Nanobots could also keep veins and arteries clear, removing blockages and plaque from arterial walls to help fight heart disease. And then there's the medical holy grail, curing cancer. Since cancer is a group of diseases involving abnormal cell growth that spreads throughout the entire body, nanobots could be a valuable weapon. And using nanotherapy instead of radiation or chemo or surgery, we can eliminate side effects like hair loss, nausea, and fatigue by targeting only the cells that are sick and leaving the healthy cells alone. Nanorobotics also offers tremendous potential for other industries. For example, data storage. How many full hard drives do you have laying around? Bioengineers and geneticists at Harvard have successfully stored around 700 terabytes of data in a single gram of DNA. Think about that storage. That's the same as 200,000 HD movies. That's bigger than the entire Netflix catalog. 31 times bigger. And it's all in a droplet that would fit on the tip of your pinky. And just like Drexler predicted decades ago, it seems as though nanorobotics can actually help clean up the planet. Carbon nanotube sponges are 100 times stronger than steel, but 6 times lighter. You release them into water and they're capable of soaking up contaminants such as fertilizers, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, 3 times faster than current technology.
I need one of those nano sponges. My water's filthy. You know, if Nano's here, she'd clean my bowl for me.
I clean your bowl every day.
Yeah, but Nana does it with love.
I could try doing it with love.
Yeah, you know what? I'm good.
Suit yourself. Let's look at one last possibility of nanotechnology that will either thrill you or scare the crap out of you. Nanorobotics could be used to connect our brains directly to the internet.
Oh no, I'm gonna need my hat for this.
Okay, hang on. There you go.
No hat for you?
No, I'm good.
Shh, I love telling you I told you so.
So, connecting our brains directly to the cloud. Inventor and futurist Ray Kurzweil is certain that this will happen by 2030, and his track record is pretty good. He's made 147 predictions since the 1990s, and 115 of them have happened, and another 12 only turned out to be off by a year or two. His predictions have an 86% accuracy rate, and if his streak holds, start expecting our biological nervous system to be wired into the cloud within the next decade. Think of the convenience of having all of Google accessible to your brain immediately.
So you trust Google with your brain, huh?
Ah, I see the problem with that.
Hat. There you go.
Now, 60 years ago, nanotechnology was just a concept. Now that it's here, we need to encourage innovation, because the benefits of nanotech are too numerous to count, from healthcare to the environment, data storage, green energy. But we also have to acknowledge the risk, especially since we're talking about technology that can manipulate life on an atomic level. As the science develops and nanobots become more sophisticated, malfunctions are inevitable. But what if they end up functioning too well? What if, like some futurists predict, nanobots learn to self-replicate or even become self-aware? How would we know? And by that time, will it be too late? Thanks for hanging out with us today. My name is AJ, that's Hecklefish, and this has been The Y-Files. Today we talked about the emerging field of nanotechnology. How do you guys feel about nanotech? Would you be comfortable having a tiny robot army coursing through your veins? What else could nanotechnology be used for? Let us know in the comments. We're working hard for you, so do us a favor, give us a thumbs up. It really helps the channel. And if we haven't earned your subscription today, I promise we'll keep making fun, brainy content until we do earn it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated. Let's explore one last polyp. You know, can't explore a polyp unless we're doing a colonoscopy.
If we haven't earned your subscription today, I promise this moron's gonna keep making these stupid videos until you hit the button.